Andy Manley, director of swimming.
It's great to be quite unique before you go out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it is unique. I guess the standard protocol would be like 2 weeks before the Olympics, each country would head out for like a holding camp, whether that's actually in the country itself or nearby. With Felix and with the Austrian team, that's something that's not open to us. So we're actually going to arrive in Tokyo 5 days before his first race, which is his main event. Now, with an 8-hour time zone change and 5 days, that just doesn't work. You know, the chances are there'll be some kind of effect on him in a negative way. And so our plan is to stay here in Loughborough right until the 18th of July. But very gradually over an 8-day period, we're going to adjust his body clock or attempt to adjust his body clock. And our support team, our IDT, has been amazing in kind of setting this up. So what it's going to mean is he's going to, for the first 4 days, we're going to adjust an hour a day. So he'll start to go to bed an hour earlier, he'll get up an hour earlier, and we'll start moving training times. And then the last 4 days, we're going to do that, but just by 30 minutes. So the most extreme it will get, and it sounds a bit weird saying it when we talk about it now, is that he'll be going to bed at around 4:30 in the afternoon. He'll be getting up at about midnight or just after midnight. And then I think our most affected training session will be a 3 till 5 a.m. So it's brutal, but the fact I think we're doing it systematically. We're not just jumping straight into that. We'll do it over a period of days and hope that his body will start to adjust to that. So other things we'll have to do is like buy blackout curtains for his room. So it's pitch black when he's going to bed at 4 p.m. And then the contrast being that when he has to get up, we're going to look at ways to stimulate his senses and his brain into thinking that it's actually daytime and not 2 a.m. So it's different, it's unique. I mean, other people will have done similar stuff before. We haven't, but I think he's confident, which is the main thing in what we're doing. I'm confident that our plan is sound and that it's scientifically driven. And the basis being that when we arrive in Tokyo, the adjustment will be really small. He'll have to do the final 2 hours, but 2 hours over 5 days will be no problem. So if he's a little bit tired here for a few days, we can live with that. But by the time we arrive in Tokyo, his body will be well on its way to being on Japan time.
Felix Albeck, swimming 400, 800 and 1500 freestyle. I feel like we have to do it because we want to perform the best as we can, and we are in this ordinary situation where we have prelims in the afternoon, finals in the morning, which is a little bit different than usual. And we did not get to have a holding camp before the Olympics. Our holding camp was cancelled, so we're going to get there on the 19th of July, where I'm competing on the 24th. So we just have 4 days to adapt until I race, which is not enough time with an 8-hour time difference. So we are taking the step to adapt here before, which will be like over a 9 or 10 day period, and kind of like reduce the time difference every day by 30 minutes or 60 minutes. So when we get to Tokyo, we are already adapted by 6 hours and we just have two hours to go. So then when we get to race day, we're fully adapted and there's no difference anymore. We don't feel like we're coming from a different time zone. I think it is difficult, but in the end of the day, I feel like there will be challenges, but it's all about discipline. Just getting to bed every day 1 hour earlier, what is definitely hard to do, but when you know the Olympics are coming up, it's definitely not that bad.
My name is Andreas Vazeos. I'm from Greece, and I'm part of the swim team. I'm now doing my master's in sports and exercise psychology here at Loughborough University.
Perfect. The best you can be.
Yeah, it's quite a big challenge. We faced the same thing when we were heading to Rio, but Andy and all the staff here, we kind of have a plan to change our sleeping patterns in advance in order to be able to adapt faster and be more ready when it comes to when we land to Tokyo. Because with the new restrictions, we're not allowed to enter sooner than 5 days, I think, before. So that kind of like gave us an obstacle, but at the same time, it's something that we can take into our advantage. And as I said, yeah, we have a plan to kind of change our sleepy patterns and the training times in order to be able to adapt faster when we get there in order to perform, because I have a race in the first day, so I need to be on my best performance right away.
So what are your hopes for Tokyo?
It's challenging, but at the same time, just because we did kind of the same thing for Rio, I feel comfortable doing that again. And it is change, and at the beginning, we always see our body be more like, take some time to adapt to those kind of changes. But I feel comfortable doing that just because I know that it's gonna be helpful in the long run and doing the whole games, because it's not only one day that we have performed. I'm racing on the first day, the 4x1 freestyle relay, and then have the 2 AM, and then the last day I have the 4x1 medley relay. So I still feel that this change will help me overall, like throughout the whole competition, be ready even from like on the first day, and then the same continuing to the rest of the competition.
This is, I'm going to be very cautious answering this, okay? The experimental evidence would suggest no, okay? It's simply the case that it's the consistency of one's sleep quality that delivers for performance. One, even two poor nights are unlikely to impact performance. There have been experiments conducted with sprinters who have been kept out of bed all night, and it's difficult to detect impact on their sprint times, okay? It's simply the case that we can overcome a lot of the feelings of early morning fatigue in certain sports. It's different if your sport requires sustained periods of concentration, but even then we can motivationally overcome, such that there is evidence that even a very poor night before marathon running has little impact on your relative placements in the running order, in the finish order. That said, there is another route to impact in performance, and that's through athlete confidence. If you live the disciplined life of an elite athlete, the chances are you're accustomed to going to bed at a particular time, getting up at a particular time, training at a particular time, and basically looking after your body according to a schedule. Jet lag, flying 8 hours across the globe, disrupts all of that. And that is in itself disturbing. And that's what I meant when I said you really ought to be prepared for some of these things. But they're not, you've got to put them into context. They're not massively going to impact performance. But what they could do is impact your confidence in your performance, because you will sometimes feel different. And if you wake up a little bit more fatigued than you otherwise would be, or you feel a bit stranger than you otherwise would when you started your usual training regime, just keep in mind that this is transient, that you're generally in good form, that sleep in and of itself is not likely to be the factor that degrades your performance. But if you suspect, and if you maintain the suspicion, that your sleep is going to be degraded as a result of poorer quality sleep, then it can undermine your confidence in your performance, and that can undermine your actual performance on the day. So the important message here is to put sleep into context. It's important for maintaining your well-being and performance, but most of us can cope with one or two poor nights prior to an event. And one final thing on this point, it is absolutely normal, and the literature on this, the scientific literature, is quite consistent in showing that of all the sports-related events that disrupt sleep, the one that most predictably disrupts sleep is the night prior to an important competition. Nights prior to an important competition are always characterized typically by delayed sleep onset. It just takes us longer to get to sleep because we're thinking about important things. And yet, that delay in sleep onset and the resultant shortening of sleep has been shown to have no effect on the following day's performance.
So that's almost kind of the night before Christmas kind of thing.
It's exactly the night before Christmas sort of thing. let's hope it's Christmas.
Yeah. And just one final point as well. You mentioned the lack of sleep and how that shouldn't really play a part. But is there a psychological thing there where you could say, oh, goodness, I only had 3 hours sleep last night, I must feel terrible, when actually you're functioning quite well.
Yeah, this is what I meant by undermining your confidence in yourself. It's difficult to wake up in the morning with abbreviated sleep and not know it. We're wired up to know whether or not we've had enough sleep. Okay, now in some sports, it's cultural that you arrive for your first training session feeling fatigue. If you're a rower, you get used to this. If you're a swimmer, you get used to this, and that's because they traditionally have very early start times to their day. But nevertheless, we know that this fades rapidly with engagement in sports activities. Okay, and the question you asked was, is there a psychological impact? Yes, there is. You're always aware that you didn't have what you feel to be enough sleep. The question is, again, have you put it into the correct context? You know, if this was a lifetime experience of poor quality sleep, then you could expect degraded performance. But one or two nights, no. This is something that can be overcome. And sleep is also homeostatic, even under conditions of jet lag. And what I mean by that is that your body will reach out and take the sleep that it needs ultimately. The body always wins when it comes to homeostasis and sleep. So if you have a kind of sleep deprivation caused by circumstances, anxieties, then you'll get compensation as well, because that's how sleep works.
Perfect. Brilliant. Really good. Thank you.
Awesome.
That's great stuff.
I'll go home now.